Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Agnostic Salvation Hour. This is Marshall.
Hi, this is Cole.
This is Jennifer.
And this is Howard.
I'm going to try to maintain my sexy voice this entire show.
Oh, good, man. You turned me on.
Let me know when you start using it.
Oh, that's so disappointing.
What was that all about?
Oh. Well, it turns out I don't turn Howard on at all.
Oh,
man.
Darn it.
Oh, well. Cole, I got you, though.
Yeah, you still have me.
So
now I'm really not turned on.
Yeah. Well, smile when you say that, big boy.
So that was Cole.
Oh, that wasn't Cole.
That's Cole's normal voice.
Yeah. Ooh.
Alrighty. So, Cole, you had something you wanted to talk about before.
I did? Which one? Would that be Ken Miller?
It was.
Okay, yeah. Ken Miller came into town, Science Cafe.
Well, remind everybody who Ken Miller
Ken
is.
Miller is a cell biologist that is for, he's a Christian, a Catholic, believes in Jesus.
That was me.
Wow.
That was my droid phone.
Oh, okay. Oh,
just,
sounds like me in the
just
morning.
Just to interrupt, I got rid of my iPhone and went to a droid. I'm very happy with that decision.
Okay, good.
That probably pissed off a lot of listeners. But
sure did.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Nope.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
He is a cell biologist. He's a Catholic. He believes in Jesus, and he also supports evolution. And also spoke in the Dover trial, a significant speaker.
He was one of the leading witnesses.
Right, yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. And so he talked a little bit about that, but mostly he talked about evolution at the Science Cafe, which was at Coach's Bar and Grill on Metcalf. And usually there's probably 30, 40 people show up at the most, and I think it was packed. It was like 60 people there. Mm-hmm. Give a good show. But I have a question that I ask a lot of Christians when I go to Bible studies and churches, and outside that, just on the street and this and that, and I've only asked one other person that has ever answered that question. And at last, Ken Miller was packing up stuff, and about six of us was lucky enough that we got to have dinner with him afterwards. And so before, as he was packing up his computer and such, I went over and asked him if I could ask him something. He said, sure. And so I said, I asked this of a lot of probably 30 Christians so far, and only one other one has ever answered it. And he said, okay. And I explained I was an atheist and helped organize some groups here in Kansas City and this and that. And so he became a little more interested, and he said, I said, if science, I don't think it will, but if science ever proves that there is not a God, how does that going to make you feel? How would that make you feel? And he says, well, I'd be sad, and I would miss him, but I would continue with science. I like science. I would continue on. I said, wow, that's great. I said, there's one other guy, and he answered almost identical to you, and he does two of our groups. Fred, and all the rest of the 30 people just will not flat answer whatsoever because they say that it's too hypothetical. They can never answer it because God does exist and we just can't do it. We can't say it. And so I told him, I said, you're welcome to turn that around if you'd like to on me. And he said, no, that's not necessary. And I said, and I always say the same thing to the other Christians also. And as I'm getting ready to leave, I shook his hand and said, thank you. And as I was getting ready to leave, he put his arm on my shoulder and stopped me and he says, but I don't think science will ever prove it. And I said, well, you're probably right.
Yeah.
But I said, I just, you know, thanks for answering. So anyway, I thought that was a pretty cool answer. And Fred, almost exact words, is just amazing, mm-hmm. both in such support of evolution. So did you want to ask each other that question, if it was the other way around?
Well, if science were to somehow magically prove that God does exist,
yeah, how would we answer?
I don't know if it would alter my life whatsoever.
First of all, define God. You have to define God.
Yeah, I got to say this. What God did it prove?
Right. If so what few people I have turned this around, and I have just voluntarily answered, I said, if your Christian God would suddenly be proved, then I'd be screwed, because even if he did prove he existed, I wouldn't like him.
Yeah.
I don't like his rule book. I think he's totally unfair. And so I'm screwed. He knows everything I'm thinking. Well, I can't not think.
I would say this. Well, you know, what if the Christian God is proved, but then says, "Yeah, that's not me. You know, this is not my somebody's perverted my work.
Now we're talking outside.
Yeah, but then you're talking.
Yeah, but then that's really not the Christian God.
Now we're talking deity. So like Howard interrupted, or not? You know, I mean, you know, stepped in and said, "You would have to define. We'd have to."
Yeah, but if science were to somehow prove, and it will never happen, that the universe was created by an intelligent being.
Right. That was nice. I continue, that led us on our own.
No other characteristics are necessary.
I'll be honest. That always comes in. We comes into these discussions. We talked about the anthropic principle a couple episodes back, I think. Maybe we released that one. I don't know, people. But anyway, we talked about it. I mean, you know, that I'm absolutely fine with discussing that. Maybe there is a way that, you know, maybe the creation of the universe and the beginning of the universe, time and space in the Big Bang, somehow that proves a creator of some sort. I don't think it does. But let's say it does. That doesn't mean it proves anybody's God.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly.
Those two things are not the same. And I never get why anybody, you know, draws that conclusion from that. I mean, it's like, yeah, cool. Maybe somebody created it. Great. We don't know who that was. We don't know what he is. We don't know what his motives were. We don't even know if he's a he. So, you know, good job. Great way to go. You posited a possible solution that to a question that is unanswerable.
Yeah. Hey, maybe the Big Bang happened and God came out of that.
Well, you know, that's a possibility, too.
Well, but then
who knows?
That doesn't answer any questions, though.
It doesn't answer any questions, and I would say if a god came out of the Big Bang, it wouldn't really be a god. It would just be another natural being that
maybe,
you know,
exceeded us in ability.
But, you know,
Well, I mean, he's like Deity. He's God in his universe.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. If that question was posited to me, I think what I would say is if somebody said, well, it's the Christian God, and that's somehow proven, I would say, well, if he exists, then chances are there are other gods that exist, because there just being one is highly unlikely.
And I'll be honest with you. If, and of course this was never going to happen, if the Christian God were ever proved to exist, I would start worshiping him because, you know, that means hell exists also, and I'm not exactly excited about the prospect of spending eternity in hell. Of course, having said that, I don't believe any of that, so I really don't think it's something you have to worry about in the future.
I don't know. I don't agree with that. I wouldn't start worshiping him because there's no requirements of an omnipotent, omnipresent, omnipowerful being. I said omnipotent. Oh, well, two times. You got it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Impotent?
Omni-impotent?
Maybe that's the whole thing. Maybe that's why he's so pissed off.
He's perfectly unable to.
Yeah. He's limp.
He had to send the Holy Spirit to get
he's,
the
He's
virgin.
Limp both outside and inside time and space. Anyway, sorry. Woo! What was I talking about? God damn it.
Don't say that.
Reason, damn it? That doesn't make any
there
sense.
There you go.
basically, you know, if somebody posited this claim, why should I believe in your God over anybody else's?
Yeah. But if we advance the claim to somehow Jesus was proven to be our God, a God, then we're getting a little more specific. Of course, none of that's going to happen. So.
Right. Okay, yeah. That was the point I was saying, is an omnipotent being of any kind. Well, what would be the motive of such a being? He's omnipotent. He's perfect. He has everything, and in himself he has the ability to, you know, create, destroy, do everything he needs to do. We're talking about a potentially perfect being here.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell does he need our worship for?
Mm-hmm.
That's such a weird idea. Why does he need a bunch of beings that he's created to grovel in front of him? Is he lonely?
And then
that doesn't make any sense.
And then, no, if we're satisfied, then if he's satisfied by our earthly worship, we go to heaven where we get to sing songs about him constantly. This is the ultimate.
I know. It's like, what would heaven be like?
Egomania. I mean,
there'd be so many questions. If it was proven, you'd have a lot of questions. And being a non-believer, how would you not non-believe? I mean, you would believe now, but but you don't like them. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, and then there's the other issue, too, of how could you be happy in heaven knowing that some of your friends and family members went to hell. You know, it's like, right. And you know, so that makes
some
no
of them
sense
should,
either.
But, yeah.
No, I agree. Well,
I just figure I'll be happy in hell because the company will be good.
Well, you were talking about some of the characteristics of God. The other day I was listening to Bot Radio and they were condemning and trying to tell people how to work on. I had call-ins also with jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
I find that so funny. Well, God just even says I'm a jealous God.
Yeah.
So
he's perfectly jealous,
right?
Though.
But they're telling us not to be jealous.
But what has he got to be jealous of?
Nothing.
No, that's right. an interesting point because according to the Christian God, he's jealous of other gods.
Well, see, everything indicates to me that, there are other gods. Mr. Deity's right. There's many gods out there.
I mean, we've modernized that idea to say that, that's other things you put in the place of God.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like
science.
Right.
I worship
or
science
or whatever.
Myself.
You've made that a god, but I don't think that's what it originally meant at all.
Well, throughout the Old Testament, it's pretty clear that God has a lot of human characteristics, which
I wonder
is
that
pretty
would be.
Indicative of the
I guess
fact.
If they were wolves, they would have wolf characteristics.
Yes, exactly. Or triangles, they would have three angles. So anyway, apparently another person asked Ken Miller what he thought of the atheistic movement.
Oh, the new atheists? Yeah, he did. This person being a Christian, fundamentalist Christian, and but Ken Miller once again defended it. I mean, he said, "I'm glad they're there." You know, he says they bring a new light. He says they basically. I think that's the why Fred likes freethinkers and our groups is because he thinks that we're helping to get these fundamentalist Christians from not thinking like this.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking better and more passionately, more rationally about civil liberties and such, mm-hmm. along with science. And so I that's what I saw. And I thought it was great. I mean, he answered it like in less than a minute. I could tell he didn't really want to talk about religion. That's why I saved that question to ask him personally one-on-one without bringing it up, because I could see that a few people did kind of tend to want to go towards religions, and that was not his thing. You know, he was there to talk about science.
Yeah.
Well, of course, he's a scientist.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. And I think we should have respected that. And
right.
We did.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I didn't go to the science cafe. I saw him the day before at Johnson County Community College. And yeah, I mean, he kind of touched on religion a little bit.
Right.
And what he did was very humorous. Like, he put up like the Jesus fish and then the Darwin fish eating the Jesus fish. And then he might have done that at that one.
Yeah,
yeah, that
did.
Was really funny.
Yeah.
Then the Jewish people came up to him like, we feel left out. You forgot the gefilte fish or whatever, I definitely think that there's a time and a place to question the whole validity of religion and stuff like that, but when you got a guy like that who's
a
champion for science, I'm like, maybe this we should definitely be harping on the science, not the religious
and supporting him.
Because
he's great.
And he's very, and I think he was very right on when he said that the biggest problem that of course, I think it was also said in the film Flock of Dodos that the biggest problem that scientists have is they need better marketers. Mm. They need to be able to come up with easier ways to explain. I mean, and it's difficult to do with like what evolution is, how it works, all that stuff. But make it more accessible to the general public instead of it kind of being posit out there is like way up here, and if you're not smart, you're not going to understand it. And I think that's one reason why a lot of people, and especially a lot of fundamentalists, really kind of turn their nose up to it, is because they're just not educated enough to, whether that be by their own doing or because they never had the advantages or the chance to learn. But
your average citizen here in the United States still has this image of an ape giving birth to a human.
When they think
of evolution.
And they're still asking the same thing. Well, do you believe, we came from chimpanzees, Mm-hmm. No one ever supports that. We didn't come from chimpanzees.
So
why are chimpanzees still here?
And I saw on YouTube one individual making the argument, if evolution is true, then what did early humans do before they evolved the penis? How did they go pee? And that was literally a question that he was serious about.
Wow.
You know, how did people urinate?
That's almost as good as the argument that P.Z. Myers had back and forth with
Ray Comfort.
The elephant. Well, if the male elephant, evolved first, he had to wait around for a female elephant to evolve. It's like, oh, my gosh.
I just don't get it. Well, see, that just shows you, doesn't it?
Well, then, and that is the basic understanding that people have of evolution.
Oh, I've had several Christians tell me, you don't really believe we came from monkeys, do you?
I would look at him and be like, no,
no,
I don't.
I don't. They go, well, you're an atheist. Well, I know, but I don't believe, you know.
No evolutionist believes that.
No evolution. Yeah, no one who accepts evolution thinks that. Yeah.
And when you tell them what you think, you know, that we evolved from a common ancestor, they just leave the subject.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if anybody's seen. It's actually out on YouTube, and when I go out and look at a lot of, you know, just related debates and stuff like that on evolution, those sorts of things, it always comes up, and it's one of the Baldwin brothers. I can't remember one of the uglier ones.
Yeah. I agree. You're right.
And they ask him, you know, they ask him. It's like some celebrity reality show that he's on, and he says one of my favorite arguments, which is like, I always love this argument because it's like, oh, you cracked the code, genius! You cracked the code. You figured this out. It's so funny because he goes, well. You know, if evolution is true, why are there still monkeys?
I know.
Yeah, I hate that one. I just want to smack my forehead.
It's like, oh my gosh.
It's like, you really didn't pay attention in biology, and did you? At all.
Yeah, but that's the mentality that creationists want people to have. They're happy to have their flock have that understanding of evolution because that ends the discussion for them. I mean, that's absolutely absurd. For them to believe that, but they're happy with that because they've won the discussion. You don't believe in evolution. That's all I care about. I can move on to the next person. And I don't know. It's kind of sad, but it's amazing how common that is. It really is.
Well, it's just in the churches. It's just every time you say it or read it, you make another copy in your brain. You know, that old thing of saying it over and over and over, writing on a chalkboard, I won't be bad anymore 50 times or 100 times. Mm-hmm. And you hear this, and you hear what limited science education or knowledge that they have, people in these churches, they just hear this same thing over and over and over. Oh, they believe we've come from monkeys. When you hear it dozens and dozens of times, they just repeat it. Mm. It's not anything they've learned or know. They just say, huh, well, our preacher, he's a smart guy, so he must know.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Yeah. Just my favorite thing is when they talk about doing carbon dating on fossils and how wrong that is. And it's like nobody does carbon dating.
Carbon dating's only good for what, like 60,000 years?
Right.
Well, other types of radiometric dating that we can do, but that's not one. That's not when we do dinosaur bones.
Well, don't hear too much about that anymore.
I still hear it.
Do you?
Yeah, I just
all the time.
I hear the monkey thing all the time, but I never hear it.
There's actually a younger guy that works for the, which one of those creation institute places, whatever.
Discovery.
I can't remember his name. Yeah, it's Discovery, and he's basically has a PhD in biology or something like that, and they're you know, he's going around, and I've seen him on interviews and stuff like that, and he talks about how radiometric dating is completely, you know, can't be trusted, and they do it wrong, and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Based on.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Based on...
Yeah, like the Dover trial, when they found out they had everything based off of anything, their case just fell apart.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, those same techniques and formulas and everything that they use for that are the same thing that they use to, you know, determine half-lives of isotopes and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, it doesn't work in one place and then not work over there with another. I mean, it's...
It's a constant. Yeah.
Right. And...
So, those rates aren't fluctuating at all.
Right. And, you know, there are times it doesn't work. But, I mean, that's always the problem is they always want to parade out those singular times that maybe didn't work because of an anomaly, like the snails with the shells and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They want to parade that stuff out. But, you know, all the other times that it works just fine.
They don't talk about that.
Or especially when it works in their favor.
Exactly.
When something dates to a time period that, oh, yes, this was from the, you know, time of Jesus.
I love that. But
if you date something else, like the Shroud of Turin, then it only dates to the Middle Ages, and everybody's like, oh, well, it was in a fire, so it changed the makeup of the shroud and all this. I'm like, whatever, people, whatever.
It added more carbon to it. That's not even how it works.
Yeah, no, it's not how it works at all.
You know how they calculate how to give you an X-ray and not kill you? Yeah. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Alrighty. Well, let's move on to some news. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. We didn't want to do... Well, this is kind of news. Jennifer, you had something you wanted to talk about.
Just this week, PZ Myers found out that he had some heart problems and was having to go to the hospital and do some tests and possibly surgery, so... Mm.
Is there any way that we can email him and let him know we're praying for him?
Yeah, I'm sure he prefers we don't.
He has a blog.
Okay.
Yes, he did say that in his blog, that he preferred we keep our prayers to ourselves.
Okay.
That well wishes are welcome, you know, all that stuff. But that, you know, he knows I think he said something to the effect of he knows his heart is black and evil, but hopefully after getting checked out and getting taken care of, it won't be ready to blow up on him, you know.
Well, it would be really funny if he goes to the doctor and the doctor just come out afterwards and say, oh my gosh, your heart is hardened.
But yeah, and I think he also has a Facebook page, so I've seen a few updates on there, and I want to say that he was getting
he's speaking in Skepticon too.
He may not be because of that this. Reason. Yeah, it depends on how everything goes, what they find out, how invasive surgery is going to be as to whether or not
maybe we could do Skype from the hospital room.
Well, and then
live
at the same time, we have Christopher Hitchens dying of cancer.
Yep.
And, of course, you have a whole bunch of Christians not only saying this is God's vengeance.
Right.
I mean, they were going to say that no matter what he died
sure,
of.
Sure.
You know, he could live to 112 and they're going to say that. But they also, a lot of Christians are now praying and talking about how they really hope he converts before he dies.
Right.
And he's come out and said that's absolutely not going to happen.
Anybody happen to see the interview he did with somebody from NBC, ABC, I don't know, sorry. One of the network television.
I didn't.
Deals.
Did you see the one with Charlie Rose? It's like an hour long. Mm-hmm. That's excellent if you haven't
seen
that.
I haven't
seen
it. It's
very good. It goes really into his personal life and into his book, Hitch 22.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
And there's like a 10 to 12 minute one up on YouTube. I would encourage anybody to go watch it.
Right.
I love that guy just because he's just so caustic and
I have to agree. It was nothing more than that. It's fun.
Well, no, I just always enjoyed that because I mean it was his just take no prisoners attitude, and you know, and a lot of times he got a lot of shit for it. I mean, to be terribly honest,
I loved how he always was able to take over the conversation.
He's really not looking good.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. He said, the type he has is very painful.
Esophageal.
Yeah. It's esophageal, basically. Right. Yeah,
and the treatments are harsh. Yeah. And so, and I'm sure, I mean, you know, I don't know how much you saw in that 12 minutes, but if you watch the Charlie Rose one, it gets real personal. And they talk about his, not a hedonist life, but bohemian life is what he calls it.
Bohemian life.
Says he wouldn't change it. He wouldn't do it any different.
Yeah, he said he would. There's nothing he would have done different in his life. He says everything I did enhanced everything I did. Mm-hmm. Drinking, smoking, it made my writing better. I wanted to be a writer everything I did, sex, everything was enhanced by it. And he said he wouldn't change anything.
Yeah, I think that's why I like the guy. Because he talked about, you know, he was like, you know, if you want to live longer, you might want to cut down on the smoking and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And he's like, you know
right.
what? I enjoyed myself.
Yep.
And I really appreciate that sort of honesty from somebody.
Well, I do, too. I mean, and maybe he wouldn't be who he is
or
how he was and would have lived 20 years longer and none of us would have known him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows that that's not true? And so, hey, more power to him.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down and do some good reasoning for him or something. I don't know.
Sure, sure.
What the hell? I
hope you live a long time, man.
I think we've all enjoyed his contribution.
Well, both of them.
I'm curious. I wonder if this chemo, is he taking this seriously? I mean, is he fudging? Is he smoking? Is he...
I don't think so. Not from the interview I
drinking.
Saw.
Probably not.
He's pretty well quit, has he?
I'm
not sure if I heard that anything different.
I mean, it probably depends on where the cancer is.
I'm sure at a certain
point, you got to be like, well, doesn't matter anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah,
may as well just smoke them all I got them. Yeah.
Right. And that may very well happen.
I don't think with that sort of treatment. You know, I mean, they're probably not doing it.
I know my mom's going through chemo right now, and she'll get three more. She has to do 12. And so, you know, there is a point in her life that they've pretty much told her that this, what they're doing, could possibly give her 5 years of life.
Sure.
Now, if after they test and after they do a few more things and they show, no, it's not, and it's going to progress and it's going to get worse, then my mom, within a month or two, will have to make some decisions.
Right.
And so that's what he, Hitchens, will have to do too, is, you know, if this isn't working. Then,
yeah, apparently it's a particularly aggressive strain that
it
he
is.
Has.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
It's not
It doesn't look promising at all.
No. So. I think he said he has at most 5 years left.
Right.
Yeah.
Barring a miracle, which I don't think any of us are anticipating.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to something else.
Something cheerful, maybe.
Something more cheerful. Let's talk about the Mosque of Terror.
Oh,
dun, dun,
no.
Dun. in New York.
What is this? I haven't even heard about
Ground
this.
Ground Zero?
How could you not?
Really?
Yeah, how could you not?
Before we talk about it, I just want to make it clear that I'm not a fan of Islam. Or of any particular religion.
Sure.
I'm phobic towards all religion. I think they are, every religion, maybe with the exception of the Quakers, are detrimental to our species as a whole.
Yeah, I think universalists are all right, you know? They don't hurt anybody. They're just annoying.
sorry, all you cool. People. Just take all that oatmeal we have.
Yeah.
You know, the Oneidans, they're all dead, so they're cool with me.
What about the Raelians?
Raelians? No.
If they even qualify as a religion.
Assholes. That's what they're
But before I...
I'm not done, Marshall.
Oh, you're not done.
Go ahead.
So I just wanted to get that out of the way. Anything I happen to say... in support of the Muslims trying to build the Mosque of Terror, as it's been dubbed by many people, which actually it's just an activity center being built in New York.
It's like a YMCA.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a Muslim equivalent.
It's a Muslim, right.
But,
honestly, I hope they use it for terror now. I mean, we've made such a big deal out of it.
Didn't some landing gear from one of those buildings, from one of the planes land there?
Crashed through some building.
Yeah. That building, I believe, where they're taking over, where they're... So that's significant somehow, I think, to the Christians.
They would make a big deal about it, whether or not if a seat
is it the
fell
right
there.
Thing to do.
Well, here it just drives me crazy. I don't want to get into a political thing, but what we're seeing so often from the right wing Christians, the conservative Christians in this country, is just a complete disregard for the First Amendment.
Yes,
you want to know something? I don't think, and this is funny that you say you don't want to get into a political thing. I think that's really easy to do on this, and the reason why is I don't think this has anything to do with politics. I think this is all religion.
Yes.
Yep.
It's all religion.
All religion. Yes.
Because to be terribly honest,
if
it was any other religion, nobody would give a crap.
Nope.
No, I mean, look at the Oklahoma City bombing. They built a memorial there. There's a statue of Jesus in there. No one said, hey, a Christian blew up this building. Why? This is an insult to put a statue of Jesus here.
You know, actually some Christians that had members killed in the bombing is in support of the mosque. And they said so.
Well, good.
They said so yesterday. And I believe in the Kansas City Star today, but I also read it online. And several of them got together and said, you know, why should we object? It's not even a mosque. I mean,
it's not a mosque. There's actually a mosque
already
adjacent
there.
to the site that's been there for 40 years, for starters. And second of all, this is an activity center. Thirdly, they have the right to do whatever the hell they want to do.
So long as they're in the right zoned area and they're not building, you know, something that's not, you know, they're not building something they're going to manufacture chemicals or something, you know, something like that that's going to harm public safety, then, yeah, there's no reason for them to be denied.
Well, but what's got me terrified, though, is something close to 70% of Americans, according to various polls, are against, don't think they should be, I don't know if, allowed is what they would say, but I think a lot of them are saying they should not be allowed to build
that
this
close.
Structure there,
right?
Because, well, and one thing they're pointing out is the the guy directing this effort, the Muslim, and I don't have his name on me for some reason, he apparently once said about 9/11 that while America didn't deserve it, we were somewhat, we played a role in its occurrence. And that's being used as a reason that he should not be allowed to build
that
there.
Taken out of context.
So can we throw right back at the Christians everything that, like, every televangelist has ever said? And
well, like Pat Robertson.
Pat Robertson. I mean, all we have to do is say Pat Robertson.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That guy said one thing. You guys got Pat Robertson.
Yeah. Right. And the thing is, who cares what he said? What if, even if he said, I think America deserved it, and I have a party every night in celebration of 9/11. That's his First Amendment right, believe it or not. He has the right to say that.
So long as he's not not supporting or trying to train terrorists, then, he has every right to his opinion on that.
It would not be smart,
but
you're right.
No, it would not be intelligent.
But you're right.
But he's not saying – he's actually building this as a community center that can be used by people throughout the area regardless of what religion
it is. Sure. Yeah. It has a prayer room in it, and that's why they're saying it's a mosque.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, of course, it's going to have a prayer room in it. It's – Muslim. They got to do it, five times a day
or something like
so
that.
So one of their times while they're there, lifting weights, they're going to have to go pray, I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just outraged. Well, and again, I am an anti-theist to the very core.
Yes.
But I totally agree.
But this has nothing to do with that. I mean, for one thing.
Well, here's the thing. If they can take their freedoms away,
they can take ours
to
away.
Do what they do, they can take anybody's.
Yeah. Christians and everybody's.
I'm not okay with that.
No.
I think I've said it. I think you all have said it, that I'm willing to fight for anybody's right to do this. Mm-hmm. Now, what I will say is it might be a bad move on the Islamic community in New York City for doing this. I mean, you can only push it so far. There are freaky people on both sides of this issue. So it seems like to me, can't you just be like, okay, we'll just build it over here. Jesus Christ, what's the problem? You know, like.
But, a couple of years from now, it'll just all be over.
Well, and I heard, I think it was on, actually it was on MSNBC, a Baptist minister saying, well, we would never allow the KKK to build a structure close to where Martin Luther King got shot, so why would we allow this? Basically equating the entire Islamic faith with the KKK.
How would they stop it?
I would say, number one, how would you stop it?
Yeah. Right.
Number two, we had these people that were here before, the Christians, called Native Americans.
Yes.
So if you really want to get down to it, any Christian church is a total affront to the fact that
exactly.
they came here and conquered and destroyed and killed
Indians.
Simply because they were heathens. They weren't, they weren't Christians, or forced them to take Christian names and all that stuff. I mean, heck, that was the whole Mormons thing, was to go out there and convert all the heathens, and we're surprised when they didn't all turn white when they became Mormon. So, what are we talking about here? It's complete and utter stupidity is what it is.
Yeah. And again, it has me scared that this country is united.
Well, I question those polls. I really question those polls, because I haven't met one person. No, I take that back. My grandmother said that she didn't think that it was right that they were building a mosque there. But of the people that I know, like at work or wherever, I mean, everybody mm-hmm. said, I don't know what the big deal is. I don't understand, they're like, I don't like Islam, but so what,
Yeah. I've met some people, but so far they're being a lot quieter than people like me on this issue. I'm pretty open about it at work. I get myself in trouble, but I'm just outraged over this whole issue. Because literally, step two is, once they've put the Muslims in their place, what if they start looking at the atheist? You guys can't get together and meet. You're an affront
to
Christians.
I think that's a good point. We're talking about a Muslim community center. Let's say it was an atheist community center.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How would that go over? I can tell you right now, I like a turd in a punch bowl.
You're absolutely right, though. Yeah.
We're talking about this, and
that's an idea.
It's irrelevant because if we were talking about an atheist, the Raelians. I mean, whatever, man. If they wanted to spend millions of dollars on this, I think it might get less attention than the Islam issue, merely because, I mean, what we're talking about, 9/11, but it would still be this huge deal. Oh, I don't know if we should allow this, you know, these godless people or whatever.
Yeah, not so close to the...
Right.
Well, there for a while, just kept hearing over and over, you know, well, it's legal what they're doing. I mean, what they're doing, they can do. But is it the right thing to do, is what bot radio preachers keep saying. Is it the right thing to do? Let them build there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, my God.
Well, and as long as people are constraining their comments to that, I mean, that's fine. They have the right to say.
They do have the right to voice their opinion and say, you know, because I will say this. And on some level, I do understand why people are upset. I mean, you know, yes, it was Muslim terrorists that, you know, toppled these towers. This is what I reasoned with my grandmother. It's like, but not all Muslims are terrorists. You know, you can't equate terrorism with the religion. It's not right. You know, it's like, and like I said, this is me also saying, because I think Islam is terrible. I think it's, I think all religions are awful. But, you know, I mean, I'm just like, I was like, that's not fair to say that all the Muslims in the United States and in the world are terrorists and ready to blow up buildings. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, it's pretty upsetting. You know what's funny is on the Jon Stewart show, the what's the name of that show on Comedy Central?
Oh, the Daily Show.
Daily Show. Yeah, yeah. They did this thing where Fox News was making a big deal about this particular Arab who was funding this thing, and he probably has connections with the Bin Ladens and his probably associations with Iran and terrorism. And they showed this picture of Prince Al-Waleed as this individual. And it turns out he's the second leading owner of Fox News.
Oh, it's funny.
And they were claiming that the terror mosque association with Prince Al-Waleed was evidence that, you know, they might be up to something bad. And he owns 8% of Fox News. Outside of the Murdoch family, he's the largest owner of shares of News Corp, which is owned by Fox News. I just thought that was funny. Basically outed themselves as...
Well, and I love it how they want to, like, play things up. They're like, oh, he's connected to Osama's family. And I'm like, yeah, and Osama bin Laden's family is like, dude, we pretty much have disowned that guy. You know, they're like, well, we don't want anything to do with him. He's kind of crazy. You know, even they're like...
Well, it's funny, because Jon Stewart showed the same picture that they used. Yeah. And then they also showed the same prince hanging around with the Bush family.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know? The Bushes and the bin Ladens are like buddies,
Yeah. Yeah, meeting with a whole bunch of Republicans. And this is the same guy they accuse of possibly having terrorist ties. you can't make it up. And, of course, I doubt Fox corrected anything they said. They should owe this guy an apology. He pays half their salary, for God's sake. I don't know. That's just one of those things that you can't make up. It's just so stupid that you would never guess. Oh, they would. Let's not make that up. No one's going to believe that. But when it actually happens, it's just stunning.
But how many people know what you just said about this guy?
Well, everyone who watches the Daily Show does.
Yeah, that's true. Are you talking about the Saudi Arabian family ties?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to say that I'm drinking some Johnny Walker Black in commemoration of Hitchens.
Aha.
It's his favorite sketch.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Now you know.
I thought, doesn't Johnny Walker, don't they make bourbon?
Scotch.
Scotch.
Let's see here. Johnny Walker blended scotch whiskey. Yeah. Nope, scotch.
Okay. I was wrong with my scotch knowledge.
You are forgiven. I give you absolution.
More related to Muslims in the United States. So we all know, now that we have a president who's Muslim, according to, as of this month, actually it's only 18% of America believes that he's Muslim, but that number is going up pretty steadily. And this poll done by the Pew Forum was taken before this whole terror mosque thing broke out. So
it was 11%. Didn't it go up to?
It went up from 11% to 18%, right, and I guarantee you, if you did it now, it be like something like 25% or something.
I think,
what the hell does anybody think he has to do with it? This is a New York issue.
He actually came out in support of it, didn't condemn it, so people are now like, oh, he's a Muslim again, and I'm just...
But even if he wanted to stop it as the president, he couldn't even do it.
That's kind of my problem with him even saying anything about it, is when he was asked about it, he should have said, you know what, this is a New York City issue. I have no comments. You know, there's no reason for him to make any type of statement about it.
Or if he was smart, he would have said, I just think we should take the Constitution's lead on this and let the Constitution be our guide. And then let the Christians interpret that as they choose.
One of the two, but basically give a non-answer, because he really has no reason to say anything in support or in condemnation of it.
Marshall, yeah. Jen, what are you smoking? A president respecting state sovereignty? You'd think that was in the Constitution. Oh, it is.
Oh, wait.
Never mind.
And what does it mean?
Right.
Sorry, politics.
But
I think 43% of the people in that same survey said they didn't know what to think about Obama.
You're right. Boy, you've got this poll memorized, don't you?
Yeah,
those
yeah.
poor people.
But
we've got a black president? What?
Right, right.
Deep stuff.
Yeah, they don't want to think about anything. They don't know whether to think that he's a Christian or whether he's a Muslim or whether he's a supporter of this or a supporter. They don't know what to think.
I always love those.
So people
polls
just go around
like,
from store to store not knowing what to do?
Yeah, yeah. I always love those when they're like, so, and this amount of people is undecided. So it's like either they're really kind of dumb or they don't care. What does that mean? Actually, that's really sad because it probably means they just don't care.
Yeah,
he's given little or no indication of what his true religious beliefs are. I personally think he's probably agnostic or something of that nature.
I would have to agree.
Well, no, he's given pretty strong indication.
He's Christian, yeah.
He ran a series of advertisements when he's running for president saying strong Christian. And I mean, at least these ads were pretty convincing that he at least was claiming that he was a Christian. Now, whether he really is a Christian or not, I don't know.
I realize that, but the rhetoric that he's used, I mean, he's the first president to actually like mention, you know, atheists or non-believers in a speech.
Right. Without having the word communist in the same sentence.
Or jail. Yeah. Or burning.
Or immoral.
Yes. The soulless.
Right. The soulless, yeah.
But, you know, in that same article that I'm reading, I got this off the Secular Daily News or whatever the heck it's called. I get a lot of information off them. Also known as the PalibanDaily.com. It's a pretty good website.
The what?
Paliban. It originally was based on Sarah Palin.
Oh, I got you.
And they're reporting on her version of America.
Yeah.
So anyway, another
it's a scary
poll.
Place.
Yes.
We need to put that across from Ground Zero.
Where bad parenting becomes a virtue. I mean, her children are just a mess. I don't know if anyone has followed that.
Palin? Not intentionally.
Oh, yeah. not on purpose. I'd have to agree.
Yeah.
All right. Another poll indicates, according to Time Magazine, that more Americans are now in favor of churches just staying out of politics and keeping their mouth closed when it comes to political issues.
Gee, I wonder what that is.
That in the past couple of years has gone from 44% to a majority of 52% of Americans don't want religion involved or don't want churches involved in politics at all.
Well, they've done such a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, just a recent survey shows 6% attendance in England for churches. 6% go to church weekly. Anyway, I thought maybe some of that's rubbing off. I mean, maybe we're hearing more from Europe. And
I don't think we're having any effect on European culture whatsoever.
Oh, no. Other way around. I'm talking about.
And I don't think they're having an effect the way around. I just think the more educated we get and the more people kind of stand back and look at how things are, they're like, wait a minute, why should this be important to this, you know?
When the entire educated Western world jerks back in revulsion at what you're doing, it sort of sends a message.
Or unless you're conservative, and then it's encouraging.
Well, yeah. We're leaders, see?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think to the majority of the world, the United States right now is just a train wreck waiting to happen. You know, they're just watching with interest.
I beg to differ. I think it has happened.
I think it's going to happen. I don't think it's happened yet. I think it's on the verge. Anyway,
stock up on ammunition and food.
Oh, yeah, back to the guns.
Canned goods and shotgun shells, yeah.
Or just do what I'm going to do and head to Marshall's house.
There we go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You'll have to get past landmines and barbed wire.
That's what I've got my little dog for. It's a joke, people. It's a joke. Yeah. I love him. I love him. He's a great little guy.
Alrighty. A lot of news associated with Muslims these days. Disney is being sued by a woman whose name I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce. She's a devout Muslim who is not allowed to attend work at, she's a server at a restaurant, and she's not allowed to work with her hijab, according to Disney policy. I'm just wondering what everyone's opinion on that was.
Well, go to work has a dress code, and if the dress code says they want to see your face, guess what?
Exactly.
Well, I think a hijab is just the...
you can only see the face.
The head.
Yeah.
it's just the scarf right. over the head?
Well, they're both the head. I mean, over the hair and around the neck.
Well, Disney policy is... that hostesses and host or anyone working in their for Disney cannot wear any outward religious symbols, and
except for Disney ones. Sorry.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
I got the Mickey Mouse crucifix. It's pretty awesome.
Or the ears.
Oh God.
Oh wow. Now that's something to think about.
I do have a picture I found on the internet of that somebody made of Stalin and Walt Disney shaking hands amidst a mural of Disney characters. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
All right. Well, does anyone have any opinion? I mean, my opinion is what yours is.
I don't know. Yeah, I might change that a bit, though. If it's just the scarf, though, I don't know. I kind of waffle on that because on the one hand, granted, it is an indication that she is... you know, Muslim, but at the same time, I as long as they can see your face, I don't see what the problem is.
If you want to look at, I mean, their policy is no religious symbols.
Right.
So that is a symbol.
Well, is
for
it?
For their religion.
Is it?
I don't know.
What if there's a woman that has cancer and is wearing and something like that because she wants to cover the fact she doesn't have hair?
Or she has very sensitive skin and has to work outside.
There's
lots of things that, you know, that could be said about that. And I kind of think...
Disney also has a policy against hiring people with cancer. So I made that up.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I don't know. I don't know. If it was the full on, you know, she had to cover her everything but her eyes, then I would say then they have every right to refuse her employment. And I guess they have every right to refuse her employment anyway, but I don't know. I just think that's a bit
unless she's in the Asia area and they can make her a ninja.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that a hijab is a religious symbol, but at the same time... Yeah.
Well, I don't think it is. If someone else
can wear a scarf, then fine.
Right. If they're fine with someone wearing a scarf or, you know, right. a hat
really,
or something like that.
Really, yeah, a hat, any sort of headgear, yeah. you know,
So, yeah, I've changed my opinion now. No, I think that's – I think Disney's in the wrong on that.
I'm going to join the 43%. I don't have any opinion at all.
You know, I'm
but
kinda,
at least we know she's a Muslim.
I'm kind of torn. I mean, I think that Disney should have the right to have a policy where you can't wear anything on your head unless you have a special exemption, like for the cancer thing or whatever. But that's not their policy. And they shouldn't be able to make it up just to target an individual,
right?
You know, or should they? I don't.
I don't know.
But I don't believe that a hijab personally is a religious symbol. That's just me.
I can't see that it is. I mean, I could even go so far as to say, I just forgot the name of it. But the more serious, covering the eyes and everything that Muslim women wear in like Afghanistan. You know, I would even go so far as to say that's not a religious symbol either. I mean, when you're talking about something, a piece of clothing like that, I mean, granted, those people wear it for religious reasons, but that doesn't make it a religious symbol.
I'm kind of going back to the other camp, because if it's something you're wearing because your religion dictates it, I don't know.
Right.
No, I don't think it's a symbol though. Like a cross is a symbol. I think the symbol I see often for Muslims is like the calligraphy character. Can't talk. I can't think of what the name of it is, but
the moon and star.
Moon and the star. Right. If she was wearing a necklace with the moon and the star on it, or a Star of David, those are religious symbols. The scarves, those are just pieces of clothing we associate with the religion.
Or how about if they had a policy that says you cannot wear clothing or jewelry that identifies your particular religion? Not their policy, but what if that were their policy?
If it was, I would say, I think it all goes back to what they can legally say and then prove. So if somebody was wearing something for religious reasons and they said, we do not allow any sort of, clothing with a religious connotation.
Or religious purpose.
Can't hire any Mormons.
Then, well, right. But, I mean, you know. Then,
well, visible. It has to be visible.
Right. But then, you know, then in a court of law, you could prove that that person was wearing it for religious reasons. Mm-hmm. And then they could say they're breaking they're breaking our rule. You could prove that. But yeah. I'm just saying that it's a gray area because it's a piece of clothing. It's not necessarily a symbol. It's not definable. Somebody could wear it for other reasons other than religious. And so that's, you know, you'd really have to have a very complete and tight rule about what you're talking about in order to even,
what do you think they have this rule?
No, I agree.
What do you think they have this rule?
Because they don't want to alienate anybody who's, you know, Christian or
customers. They don't want to offend customers.
That's what I'm saying. They don't want to offend customers
who don't want to be served by Muslims. Basically.
I think I think it's probably even easier than that. I bet the rule that they're pulling this from is basically just addressing general dress code.
Right. Exactly.
And it doesn't have anything to do with any sort of religious connotations or nothing. It's just, you know, if you're this kind of person, you can't be wearing a handkerchief or a hat or blah, blah, blah. That's it. Nothing
which,
else.
You know, which, I mean, I don't know. I think that's all. I know she's working in a restaurant, but, I mean, you would think they would just issue them some sort of a uniform and say, this is what you can wear and this is how, you know, because as far as I know, Disney's extremely strict about a lot of that stuff. Like, you know, you got to have guys have to have their hair kept up. Because, like, they even fired I remember reading something about a guy who did the Captain Jack impersonation. They actually fired him because they had a rule about you could not have facial hair in work for Disney, a theme park. But he was playing
Captain Jack.
So rather than having to put on a fake goatee every day, he grew out his goatee and they fired him for it.
And they probably had to do that for consistency.
Yes.
I can tell you that.
I love it.
My name is Blackbeard the Pirate. I'm supposed to have a beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's American law at play right there, because if you let him do it, even though it makes perfect sense, then the next guy says, hey, why can't I have a beard? You let that guy have a beard. And then they got a lawsuit on their hands when he gets fired.
Or I take that back. That might not have been the actual reason why he got fired, but I know that he couldn't grow his own goatee. They made him shave it off and put on something every time.
Yeah, and that's just
so
for consistency. As a supervisor,
doesn't this all this seem just kind of silly? I mean, if you really look at human beings, can't grow a beard, can't do this, can't do that, can't wear religious symbols.
Yeah.
I don't know. I forget what I said. Go on.
No, I know what you're saying, though. I mean, as long as somebody's not, I mean, to me, as long, you know, somebody wearing a religious symbol, I don't care.
I don't either.
I don't care at all. The only time I care is if they walk up to me and, you know, I'm trying to have my dinner and it's my waitress and she starts trying to, you know, sell me on religion or something.
Then I have a problem.
Right. But if, you know, if somebody
some
wants
fun.
To.
If I, like,
yeah,
like
well,
if I
yeah,
order
have
the,
some
or
fun.
Just have the, some fun. The pork fritter and she tells me, you know you'll go to hell if you eat that. You know,
well, they'll give me two of them.
Or refuses to serve you, or you
God,
know.
God, this takes fantastic.
Yeah. I just love it.
Give me some more.
Can bring me some more
bacon cheeseburger.
Smell that piggy now.
Just feel the effects it's having on my soul, even as I eat it. But anyway, all right, let's move on to something happy.
Good.
Yay.
We got something happy.
Atheist declares congressional run. A Dr. Wynn LeGros, a retired physician and an open atheist, is the Democratic, not a surprise, he's running as a Democrat. I guess Green Party would have made sense.
Yeah, I guess.
I
can't think of his name, but there is an open atheist running for Congress in just out of our voting area just south of us. Really? And he's a Green. I believe he's Green Party.
Right.
And I can't think of his name off the top of my head right now. But
oh, he's going to win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. No, look at his site. He'll never win.
Well, you think it's bad?
If I could vote for him, I'd vote for the guy because I pretty much agree with him on everything. Right. Like, okay, I like your ideas here.
Well, Dr. LeGros is running for the U.S. House of Representatives in Virginia's 4th Congressional District. And he's moderately, I would say he's a left-leaning moderate on most issues. I don't want to get into the specifics of all those issues because I could go on forever. But he's running against a Congressman, Randy Forbes, who's apparently won on 4 different occasions. And Randy Forbes has recently introduced legislation to declare the United States as a Judeo-Christian nation and declare the Bible to be God's word, which is about as unconstitutional as you can get.
How could he even have that introduced? Why would anybody even entertain
that? You can introduce anything you want, and just no one's going to vote on it. And
wait, he actually has introduced that. What is he, a senator?
No, he's a congressman.
Congressman? He's actually introduced
Representative,
that?
Well, is this the same person? I mean, like 2 months ago, there was a similar type case, or is this the same one?
I'm in pain.
Where they're trying to put it into whatever local election was going on, trying to make it legal to prohibit any atheists to run.
Oh, that was in North Carolina.
Okay.
That they were doing
that.
So
that was a separate
yeah.
thing.
Because that's constitutional.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. Oh, sure.
Well, because what you see is in a lot of states, he was running for state office.
That's right.
I can't remember his name. But in a lot of states, you do actually have prohibitions against atheists, or you have to be a certain religion, a brand of Christian to run. But that all usually gets ignored because it's
and in every instance I've ever heard of it getting challenged for some reason, it's
been overturned.
It's been overturned. Right. I mean, you can't do that.
Yes, but most of those states have not taken it out of their own state constitutions.
But still, I guess it just baffles me that anybody could even introduce something like that. Like, well, somebody would look at that and say, dude, that's never going to pass, and even if it does, it's going to get struck down immediately because it's unconstitutional.
He knew that, I have to believe, but he was just doing it. I'm sure that was just, something he did to get votes. Because he also tried to get something that would declare Christianity the inseparable foundation for America's representative process, legal system, and societal structures. He wanted that law made that announces that. Of course, again,
like, I bet he's flat out serious.
Oh, he probably is serious, but he also has to know that there's no way that stuff's going to get past the Supreme Court. I hope he would know that, or he's an idiot. But anyway.
There's plenty of them out there because they had that. They had those people down in Louisiana on the school board saying, we need to stand up for creationism and fight for Jesus and teach creation in schools. And I was like, dude, we've been over this. You can't do that.
Well, it's excellent evidence for the next lawsuit if they actually push that through. But anyway, this is good news. A man actually,
LeGros.
He hasn't gotten elected to anything, but he was nominated. Which, I don't know if that's ever happened,
That's kind of positive.
Yeah.
And he was nominated as an atheist.
Well, he was nominated
as a Democrat. No, I mean, he...
He was open.
Very open at the very beginning about this.
A closet atheist, and then,
I can't... I don't know how much of an issue he made his atheism when he's running for office.
To be terribly honest, I think that's the interesting part of it because it is irrelevant.
Right.
It totally is. To me, it's completely irrelevant.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of atheists who I would never even consider voting for.
Exactly. Right. It's like...
Right.
It's like...
What's his name? The talk show host, Did Religious...
Bill Maher.
I like his show sometimes. I enjoyed Religious, but you know what? You're a funny guy. Not voting for you.
Mm-hmm.
Not interested.
One of my heroes, Christopher Hitchens. I mean, if he were to run for office, I doubt very seriously I would vote for him.
Oh, I would.
I don't know. It depends on his stances.
Can we get all free booze?
I'd probably vote for him.
I don't. But the other thing is I don't think he'd ever run for office.
No, nah. I don't think he's that stupid.
No, but I'm just saying, despite the fact that he's one of my favorite people in the whole world.
Yes. Yeah. I could see that I don't know. Here's the thing is I think a politician in most ways has to be somebody who is a good compromiser, good at finding the middle ground and moving forward with an issue. Right. If you're not that kind of person, politics might not be for you. you know, and I would agree that maybe Christopher Hitchens wouldn't be the right guy for that job.
No.
And he's pretty much takes the radical position on everything he believes, whether it's to the right or to the left. But anyway, so that's good news. We got an atheist at least getting nominated. I would be shocked to hear that he actually won a seat on the House of Representatives, but it's a step in the right direction.
Sure.
Where a step where it's becoming less relevant what religion you are or whether or not you're religion. It's like Howard said, it's not so awesome that he's an atheist
right.
so much as he's it just religious. Shouldn't matter.
Yeah. No, it shouldn't, you know.
Your stance on the issues, and I think, I guess it's probably sad that there are still people out there that believe that whether you believe there is a God or not has some relevance to your morality on any particular issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think the interesting thing is you can find atheists on any side of an issue, just like you can find Christians, Muslims, etc. There doesn't seem to be any correlation between what somebody believes and what side of a political issue they decide to be on. Now, sometimes there's large groups of people, and they seem to side one way or the other. But you can always find somebody who fits in that particular religious belief system, whatever you want to call it, and they're on either side.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I found so interesting about all the groups is just that, the diversity of opinions when it comes to politics, especially because, you know, my parents were like, well, aren't they all a bunch of just really liberal people? And I'm like, no, actually, we've got a lot of really like strong conservative libertarians in the groups. That's kind of fun to talk to them about, you know, politics, about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we tend to either be...
We've got some anarchists too,
We tend to be either liberal or libertarian / anarchist.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of people, atheists that I know, who openly say that they're a Republican.
Well, right.
Right.
That's, you know, I don't hate myself that much.
Yeah, well, there are gay Republicans, which still astounds me.
Well, yeah, you know.
Yes.
I think I know one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let's out him here on the show. Who is it? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I figure that's just, you know, that's just something that enhances the whole thing for him. Ooh, I'm being naughty right now. that's all it is. Sorry, all gay Republicans out there. I'm just joking.
Yeah, well, Ann Coulter, she just got hired to speak at the Go Pride meeting in some Republican convention. And then she caught a lot of flack from that, from other conservative groups, that she even acknowledged the existence of
gay people,
gay Republicans. I don't know why they'd want her there anyway. I mean, I
think I was going to say, why would you want her there?
I know they're paying her to be there.
I mean, I would want somebody like, because doesn't John McCain have a lesbian daughter that he's like never like shunned?
Exactly.
Like, why wouldn't you be like, let's have John McCain come talk? You know, I mean,
it's just like, okay, we got the. Ann Coulter speaking at the Go Pride meeting. Next door, we have somebody speaking at the Jews for Hitler convention. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, Jews for Hitler.
There's a bit of a contradiction between being gay and a Republican in this day and age, in my opinion. And I don't know.
Well, of course, you know, I mean, when they don't believe you should have the same rights as other people, what are you doing? I mean, that's all I can say. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Really.
There's nothing I mean, can even say.
There's not much. I joined the 43% again.
you have an opinion.
I don't know what the thing. Fuck's going on.
All right.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
One last thing.
What, fuck?
Oh, that's fine with me, sweetie.
I want Marshall to say it.
Say what?
Say fuck.
Oh, okay.
Why? What do I have to say?
Go ahead.
Because you have to say it. We've all done it now.
I've said it before.
Have you?
Fuck. I was in the Army. I was in the Army for 3 years.
All right.
In the army, the word "fuck" is like every other word.
Right.
Yeah. No. It's punctuation.
Yes.
It's like, hey, fuck, come, fuck, over, fuck, here. I want to, fuck, show you something. I mean, it's just amazing how in the army we work that word into virtually every sentence.
Well, so it is pretty versatile. I mean,
Sure.
All right. Speaking of the army and speaking of homosexuals, as we were previously, I'm just for the record, I am not one. But
you're not in the army.
I'm not a homosexual. But if I were, who cares? I would. But there's this new strategy by Christians to...
I love the way he says but.
There's a new strategy by Christians to tackle the potential removal of the don't ask, don't tell policy in the military. And I've heard this from a number of sources. Christian radio station, Bot Radio, was talking about it on one of their shows. They're going to advise Christian soldiers to declare that they are conscientious objectors if they openly allow gay men and women to serve in the military.
I don't think that's what that means. I don't think that's what they developed that term for.
They don't think that they should have to coexist alongside homosexuals.
That admit it.
Yeah. Admitted homosexuals.
Right.
Because they're in there already.
So wait.
I'm sorry, Jade.
I'm not 100% on this, but... Don't they, like, train co-ed now and everything? I mean, with men and women in the same barracks, same units?
Only in some branches. I think the Army and the Air Force does.
I mean, the training is together.
We have maybe the Navy, but I'm positive the Marines.
Well, I lived in a co-ed barracks, but we males had one floor, the females. Right.
Well, right. Yeah, right. Like, you right. might sleep right. in different places, but, mm-hmm. you know, right. by and large, you know, it's you train together, you know, you do all that stuff. I mean... Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But I was in a non-combat unit. But just the absurdity of this.
A non-combat unit in the military.
Do they realize the connotations of being a conscientious objector to something like this? Basically, I'll stand around and make sure that you have a chance to have gay sex, but I'm not going to say okay to it.
Right. Or this notion is, I can't tolerate being in the army knowing who's gay. I would just prefer not to know who the gay people are. They should keep that to themselves.
And the same thing with stupidity, I think.
Well, I guess that brings up the question of just being able to serve in the military without having to hide your gay doesn't mean you have to advertise it to everybody that in your unit that you're gay. It just means that you don't have to hide that you're gay either. So that whole thing is absurd to me, because like they could serve alongside somebody for, you know, a whole tour of duty and never know that they're gay, because, you know, maybe that person thinks this probably isn't the place to talk about that.
Really funny part is they're like, well, I'm going to get out of the army and become a civilian again. That way I won't have to deal with any homosexuals. It's like, I got news for you. They're not all in the army, people.
I'm going to quit this army stuff. I'm going to become a priest.
Right.
Oh, man.
I know. I think kind of what I was saying.
I think you could almost... There's almost nothing to say about this.
Join the 43%.
I think... I think this goes back to what we were talking about our atheist politician friend. It is irrelevant that he is an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
It is irrelevant, if you join the army, what you like to stick whatever it is you've got into whatever you like. We shouldn't care about that.
Nope.
Not at all.
You're not supposed to be doing that really while you're in the army anyway.
No.
At least in basic training. And then, you know.
You get awfully lonely, though, in basic training.
Well, you know what? And whatever you do during the hours of, what, you know, 11 o'clock and 5 in the morning, hey, I don't care. But...
Not in my bunk.
Well, it's not.
The thing is I think...
I always use somebody else's bunk.
I think pretty much all of our Western allies, every other NATO member allows homosexuals.
They don't even care.
They don't even care.
Talk about it. You know? I mean, it's beyond... That's what I hear from so many people from different countries, that not only that it's legal, it's just not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
They've moved that far away from it. We can't even get to the point where it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that at least when I was in the Army, if you were gay and you admitted it, you're Wow. Kind of putting yourself a little bit of risk there.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is even if they did come out and say, you know, okay, you can serve in the military openly as a lesbian or a gay person. Well,
would you want to?
Would you really want to advertise to everybody there that you're gay? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know about the women, you know, because I don't know how they react to, you know, finding out that somebody in their unit's a lesbian. But, you know, especially with the guys, I would think that would actually put you in kind of harm's way. Kind of like saying if you're atheist can put you in harm's way.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely don't want to come out as a gay atheist.
You're but at the same time, you don't want to be fired from your job or let go from the military just because you're seen outside somewhere holding hands
with
another guy.
And I agree.
Technically, you can't be fired for it.
You can't be fired for that.
Right.
Well, yeah. No.
Well,
no,
the military.
If you said I'm a gay atheist.
No, well, a woman here recently, she was caught kissing a woman
outside. But see, that's different, Cole. That's different.
Okay.
You could say that you were.
But you just couldn't be doing something.
Exactly.
You couldn't hold her hand.
No, you can't even say that you are.
You can't say that you're. You can't tell anybody in the military that you're gay, or if they find out, they're supposed to boot you.
That's what I thought.
Don't ask, don't tell.
But this woman, I mean, she was seen with.
But I don't understand it. That should be don't ask, or we'll find out.
Right.
Right.
No, you can be gay. Right. You're just, according to the current policy that Clinton put into place, you can't make it known that you're gay.
Right. In any way.
Yeah.
Showing it, holding hands. I mean, if you do anything, you better be locked away in a room somewhere where no one can see you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what? I'd be fine with that policy as long as heterosexuals had to act the same fashion.
Yeah, had to be the same way.
And really, I know this sounds a little, I know maybe this sounds a little weird, but actually in terms of military, I would be absolutely fine with that policy. Because you know what? Sex shouldn't have anything to do with it. You're either there to support people.
Yeah, but you're not on duty yet 24 hours a day.
Yeah, I don't care about that. That's irrelevant. When you're off duty, that's not important.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is when you're on duty, on barracks, and if you live on, you know, if you live there, then, you know, you're always there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a private place, you know, a private place to be. But, I mean, at this point, they can't get married, so they can't cohabitate, you know. So, I mean, it's irrelevant. I mean, there's a lot of rights that they don't have.
Unless they live in the same barracks.
We can't. Well, yeah, but even then.
Even then, yeah, you're not supposed
to
have
it,
sex.
Right.
No, you're not supposed to, correct.
You know,
regardless
of
whether you're.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know.
Well, you can't bring your date back to the barrack. And go ahead with her either.
I'm just saying I have no problem with basically saying that, like, if you're in, there's none of that. While you are on base, while you are doing your duties, there's no doing your duties. I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah.
But what you do on your free time is your
Right.
Yeah.
But this whole, like, where, you know, one group of people is treated differently than another, that's where the problem lies.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Agnostic Salvation Hour. Bye.
So long.
Thanks.